Hello, and welcome to The Context Machine, episode 587. I'm a co-host, Brian Chaffin.
I love how you just say, I'm a co-host. It's like you show up at school one day, jump in the classroom. I'm a co-host. Related. I'm a co-host. Jeff Gamet.
Fair.
Please make sure to check us out on our new home at contextmachine.io.
Right. You could also use contextmachine.io. contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can reach us on Twitter at contextmachine. Oh, and I should mention that I'm going to tell you about ZocDoc later in the episode. They're sponsoring us this week. We appreciate that. Can't wait to tell you.
Brian, I just realized why I had such a hard time telling people to go check us out at contextmachine.io.
Yeah.
And it's because you need an editor. People don't need to check us out on our new home because we're not on top of it. They need to check us out at our new home.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
But you know what would make sense with the way you wrote that is if I'd said check us out on our new homepage. But we know how that would play.
We do know how that would play, Jeff. All right. Here's a thing for you.
I can't wait. Well, tell me about your thing, Brian. Oh, wait. No. Really, Brian? Tell me about your thing.
I got a thing. All right. So you know how I have this Mac Studio?
Right?
No. I do. I have a Mac Studio. It's got the M1 Ultra CPU in it. It's got 128 gigs of stupid fast RAM that's right on the system on a chip.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's one of the fastest RAM systems available anywhere. That's a lot of memory. I'm not doing it. Like, I don't technically need that much, but you know, I apparently do. So here's the thing. Safari, Apple Pay will stop working if I've, you know, like had the temerity to have Safari open for a few days. So like I can't, for instance, I can't actually complete the transaction, and I also cannot change the credit card.
Yeah.
So I have to quit Safari and reopen Safari, at which point it works because the cache has been cleared out, I'm assuming. Not the cache, but the memory related cache. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, as soon as you said, so I'm using Safari, it didn't matter what came after that because I knew what the problem was.
Memory.
And it's a web browser. That's what the problem is. It's just a web browser. And despite what people say about their favorite web browser being the one that doesn't become a resource hog and eat all your memory, they're all resource hogs and they all eat all your memory. And if you're not restarting your web browser on a regular basis, you know, like every day or two, in some cases, depending on what you're doing, maybe even more often, then you're going to have trouble. And yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous that we are halfway through the year 2022. We have robots roaming around on other planets, and we as a species cannot create a web browser that doesn't suck.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. So no, it doesn't seem reasonable. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I got a delivery, but I think it was delivered to the wrong house. So it doesn't really matter. I can't go get it, but that, I was distracted by that. I keep a lot of tabs open, which is how I want to use my browser. And to your point, midway through 2022 and they can't handle it. Not even on a machine like this. that is absurdly more powerful than I actually need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super annoying. Like right now, let's see, I've got, I don't have any page ins or page outs, which is great. What's my uptime? My uptime is one day, 3 hours. I've got 50 gigs of memory being used. 10.8 of that is by Safari. 8.8 is Firefox. Windows Server comes in next at 4, and Google Chrome is at 3, and Mail is at 1.5. And probably by tonight, if I tried to do an Apple Pay transaction, I would run into that problem. And it's super annoying. I mean, it's, you know, first world problems for sure, right? There are worse things happening in the world than me having to restart my browser. But it's just crazy that it's necessary.
It is. And what's equally crazy and frustrating is that as you were telling me all of this, I was thinking, oh, you know what might help is if Brian installed one of the utilities that controls when applications are running and have it automatically relaunch Safari, you know, like in the middle of the morning when you're asleep.
No, definitely not. Definitely not comfortable with that. I got to have control. Yeah. I get.
You would have control over the times because you had set it. Yeah. Also, I'm surprised you didn't jump on me for making a comment about have it run in the middle of the morning when you're asleep.
Yeah. No, that's just like, yeah.
I mean, come on. I set that one up for you.
Well, but the thing is that like, you know, yes. So it didn't even faze me.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
No, I do understand the value. I know that Dave loves those. Dave Hamilton, co-host of the Mac Geek Gab, former business partner at TMO, loves those utilities. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you like those utilities too. But
well, I appreciate those utilities. And I have Quitter installed, but mostly so that like if I just need to quit a bunch of applications all at the same time, I have a little interface to do it. But I'm not really using any of them to manage when applications launch and quit.
Yeah,
but I appreciate them.
Yeah, fair enough.
And wait, who is this person you mentioned? Dave
Hamilton. Yeah, Matt Hamilton at the Mac Geek Gab. MacGeekGab.com, small business show, the Gig Gab, Backbeat Media. Might have heard of him.
I don't know.
Yeah, take some notes. Look him up later. So, right. Yeah,
hold on. Let me write this down. Okay, got it.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. While I am kvetching with my first world problems, I got... My second week that I'd mentioned, I think last week that I hadn't set up my second display that I've had for a while, but finally,
yes, we had a discussion about that. Also, I want to let you know that I did receive comments, like through text messages from people that I know personally that listen to the show, and they were flipping their crap out because you had this display and you hadn't set it up. So, if nothing else, thinking of our fans. Well, you know, I didn't want to stress you with that. I figured if you hadn't set up the display yet, then I would just drop that bomb live on the show.
Excellent.
Just to get your reaction.
Well, I did set it
up. But instead, yeah, you set it up. So, thank you for thinking of our fans and our contextuals and setting up the display so they don't have to stress anymore.
All right. So there are some technical follow-ups to what we talked about last week. The first is you cannot put sound out through all of the speakers on both displays at the same time in some form of like stereo kind of thing without using either a product like Loopback or there's an audio related utility that Apple ships now that you can also use to essentially create a virtual speaker setup that includes all those speakers.
Do you mean audio MIDI setup?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, so I'm totally going to give you a hard time because you said that Apple ships now. And well, in a technical sense, you're correct. Yeah, they do ship it now, but they've been shipping it for a really long time.
All right. I'm picking on you. I am mostly pedantic, mm-hmm. but you knew what I meant.
Oh, absolutely. But far be it from me to not call out Mr. Mostly Pedantic.
Okay. The judges would allow it. So
I totally forgot what we were talking about.
We're talking about the fact that we had wondered whether or not you could just like use the speakers in both of these displays as a left-right stereo setup.
Yeah, and I had seen some people on social media saying yes, and they had done it. Apparently, what they never bothered to mention is the fact that you actually have to jump through some hoops to do that.
You do. If someone knows of a way of not doing, I mean, it's not available as an option in the sound output. And when I went looking, these displays have only been out for a while. There aren't too many idiots who bought two of them like me. By the way, if you bought two of them, you're not an idiot. It's me that's an idiot. For whatever reason, it's also expensive as all heck. So maybe there just weren't a whole lot of people wondering how to do that. I found like a mention of it, and that's where I saw the reference to the audio MIDI utility that Apple now ships on their Macs. And then loopback,
the brand new computer, the Mac.
And I knew that loopback would work the entire time setting up a virtual speaker for that.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Anyway, that's one update. Next update.
Yes.
Tried. Yes.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
On what your next update is.
Okay.
And I'm going to guess you're going to tell us about the camera on this one because yes. Now you have two cameras you can compare.
Right. Have two cameras. So the studio display I had set up had the firmware update. Right. And we were discussing whether or not I had actually done that. I had done that. And on that camera, I look like I've been dipped into a pancake makeup factory and smeared with 80s glamour shot. Like it's gross. Oh, yeah. It looks ghastly. I think but in the literal and the metaphorical sense, it's ghastly. So I checked the new studio display before running the firmware update for it. Ghastly.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the firmware update on that one, which by the way, as far as I could tell, didn't even require the display to restart.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I just kind of ran it while I was in a Zoom meeting and there was, anyway, ghastly. Like I said, dipped in a pancake makeup factory, smeared with an 80s glamour shot. It's freaking horrid. I don't know what the hell Apple is thinking on this.
So, okay. Here's my take on where you are right now with those cameras. The fact that both cameras are performing the same could be either good or bad. Good in that since it's on both of them the same, that means that your original display doesn't have a defective camera in it.
Right. I agree with that.
And good also meaning that since it's the same on both, maybe this is something that with additional software firmware updates, they can actually fix.
Well, it feels like it's a filter. It feels like it's like they're deliberately doing it. I don't know what the hell they're thinking, man. It's ghastly.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's not good. Here's the bad part for me from my perspective, since it's both, and you've been through the all the software updates that have come out for the display, and it's still a problem. Is it possible that Apple screwed up something so badly in the design of the display that those cameras will just never be good?
Well, that's certainly possible, but I say that mostly from a standpoint of ignorance because I don't understand what the problem is. However, the background does not look like it was dipped in a pancake makeup factory and smeared with an 80s glamour shot. So it feels to me like it is a filter that is being applied to people. Like Dave Hamilton put it, we were discussing this morning. He said that that he thinks that Apple thinks it's making us look good in Zoom calls.
My guess is that your interpretation that a filter is being applied may very well be correct, and Dave's assertion that Apple may be thinking that this makes us look better on our Zoom calls may also be correct. And if so, that means that this is one of the situations where Apple's predication to think that they know best is actually not working out in our favor.
Well, I mean, they have to be using these things too. So what the hell are they thinking?
Look at Apple's other apps. Look at like Mail as an example, and Apple does use Mail at company wide as their email application. And look at how many problems the Mail app has. Apple eats their own dog food, and apparently they're okay with how it tastes.
I don't have a problem with Mail, but you're one of the few. I know that there are people that do, so I understand your point. So this display is way too expensive for this nonsense. Especially this long after. One of the things I was wondering was because I ordered these two displays on different days, like a week apart, and then they're actually delivered 2 months apart because the wait time expanded.
Time dilation.
Yeah, time dilation. That's fine. And I was wondering if maybe the camera on the new display, the second display, would, not have this problem, or just because it had been made later, and apparently not. So I don't know what the deal is. I want it solved. I paid way too much money. You know what I really want to do? I want to not have to have a camera sitting. I have the Logitech 4K webcam, like USB-C in on the webcam, USB-A on the output. At least that's the cable that it came with. I'm sure it would work with a USB-C to USB-C cable too.
I'm sure it would.
But that's how old it is, right? Because machines, not many Macs at that point had USB-C ports built into them. So. Mm-hmm. I've got that sitting on top of my display. I want to be able to retire that thing and use the supposedly nice cameras on my exceedingly expensive studio displays. That's what I want to do. Doesn't seem like I'm asking too much.
I think that's a totally reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
Brian, I do have a concern about whether or not Apple will ever meet that expectation for you. And the reason I'm having a concern with that is because, one of the features that we get in macOS this fall is the ability to use our iPhones as a webcam. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that they're putting a lot more resources in making sure that works correctly than in fixing the camera in the studio display. And I don't have anything to back that up. It's just my Jedi instincts.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, it's only been 3 or 4 months since this thing started shipping, so I guess we can't expect miracles.
Yeah. Well, it's not, Apple. We should expect miracles.
It's not like Apple has, like, enormous expertise in cameras at this point, right? The cameras on iPhones are amazing. The software that runs those cameras are amazing. The processing they're mm-hmm. doing is amazing. The machine learning that they're applying to the photographs that we take on our iPhones is amazing. So, you know, why should we possibly expect a $2,000 display, counting the hinge, $1,500 display to have an amazing camera? It's crazy.
Yeah. Brian, I think this is on you. Your expectations are just unrealistic. I mean, for a $1,500, or in your case, $2,000 display, you know, expecting the camera to not be a bucket of crap, that's a big ask.
And it is just that. It's a bucket of crap. All right. So here is one more display-related thing, Jeff Gamet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Brian Chaffin.
And I kind of feel like you might be a good person to help me with this. So okay. It's been a while since I had two displays. I did have my iMac before I shipped my iMac off to Apple because I traded it in. But I did mm-hmm. have it set up along with my studio display for a little while. But that was real half-hearted because, like, you know, different bezel. It wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. So other than that, it's been a long time since I've had two displays. I think I'm going to keep this. I have it set up where I've got my quote unquote main display mm-hmm. directly in front of me.
Okay.
And then I've got my second display, which I personally put on the right. And I've always done that whenever, as long as I've had two displays, I've got it on the mm-hmm. right. And I've got it at an angle. So the inner edges, the inner corners touch, but then I've got the far corner tilted in towards me.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you.
Because, like, you know, putting them flat is crazy. It's way too far away. Putting them in the middle bothers me because I don't want to be turned. If I put them in the middle so that, like, the gap between them was directly in front of me, I would always
be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would always have to have my head turned either left or right to be looking straight at a display. And that doesn't seem to be ergonomic at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
But at the same time, I kind of feel crowded the way that I've got it set up. I've got an enormous desk too. So, I also have a 42-inch TV on my desk on the left.
42-inch?
It was the smallest OLED TV. I would have gotten a smaller one, but it was the smallest OLED TV I could get.
Okay. I see the dilemma there. Okay. Okay. All right. So now you're trying to figure out how can you make this work better? Am I assuming correctly?
It's more like I want to make sure that I'm optimal. I just sent you a very short video look, starting with my TV on the left going across. We could have done this before we recorded, but That would have taken planning and foresight.
It would have, but that's okay because, I mean, this is great. Oh my God, I love seeing this. Okay. So what you have going on here, I mean, generally speaking, this isn't a bad setup for the displays. But if it's not working as well as you want, what I'm wondering is if taking the second studio display mm-hmm. and instead of having it sitting off to the right, you had it so it was on top of the primary display. So instead of looking left, right, you're looking kind of up.
I don't think I can go that high. I don't think I would like that even a tiny little bit.
So
I know that I could if I had the arms that I should have gotten.
And I didn't want to go there, but yeah, we kind of have to go there. Yeah. If you had, if you had these mounted on arms, I think it would be much easier for you to get the configuration that you want.
That would be so high. I haven't tried it, and you know, I do understand that I should maybe try it before I say if I like it or not. I cannot imagine a world in which that would be a superior experience to have them be side by side.
Well, it totally depends on how you're using everything and your personal ergonomics. If I had the displays stacked with the top display, I would actually tip the top end forward. Mm. So it was like the display was leaning in on me to bring that top end closer to my face. For me, I think the setup that I would have is basically the same as what you are doing, where I have one display centered in front of me and the other display off to the side. And for me, I would actually prefer the display be on the right or on the left. But now that I'm saying that, with my setup, I actually couldn't do that. So it'd be on the right. But having it angled in, and when I say it, I mean the secondary display angled in, is really smart, because you don't want the far end like way away from you. You do want to have that as close as you can get it. So
especially it in that weird sense. Angle. I mean, because these are big displays. I mean, and two of them is a ridiculous luxury. I want to be clear about that. It's a ridiculous luxury. Just like having this Mac Studio is a ridiculous luxury.
Yeah, but you know, it's a luxury that you can afford right now. So go you.
Yay.
You. The part that I look at and wonder if we might be able to optimize this is the television position. Mm-hmm. And with your desk, I'm not really sure if we could.
I could move that. So the TV is on monitor mounts that clip onto the back that came with the desk. I've got this very nice desk, and it has these shelves that are designed to hold monitors that clip onto the back. I could move those in such a way to get the TV a little bit more to the left, but then I would be then I'd have to be turning my head way to the left to watch it.
And yeah,
I watch a lot of TV while I'm working, but I'm not really watching.
Okay, so then here's another idea. Maybe the television should be mounted to the wall
above,
behind the main display. Not like where the main display is obscuring it. So
yeah,
it's actually up higher.
That would be the up. Yeah. I could do that. I don't mind the TV. You know, John Keat told me when I first got this. So this 42-inch TV replaced a 22-inch TV, right? Mm-hmm. And I got it. So, oh my God, what have I done? This is so big. This is so ridiculously big. This was a terrible mistake. And I mentioned that to our friend John Keat, and he said, give it a couple of weeks and then, you know, like you can't imagine living with, you know, without it. And that was essentially about right. I quickly got used to how gloriously large and beautiful this TV was, and I don't mind the placement of it. And I've only had my second studio display set up for a few days, so I'm not necessarily used to it yet. But anyway, you've seen it, and you more or less approve of those ergonomics.
I do with everything you have. For your setup, I think this is actually a pretty good arrangement, and I'll describe it again for people that don't have the ability to look in our minds and actually see your setup. Main display directly in front of you, secondary display to the right and angled in towards you, and then the television on the left also angled in towards you.
You know, one thing I haven't tried, and this will be the last thing we need to say about this, but what I haven't tried is putting the second display behind so that the left corner is actually, the whole thing is pushed back a little bit and then angled a little more. Haven't tried that. I might try that. I don't think I'm going to like
it. You know, in your video, it kind of looks like that's what you did.
The bottom corners are touching in reality.
Okay. Then, yeah, slide the secondary display back just enough so that its bezel at the bottom can be behind the primary display, not enough so it obscures any of the screen. And you might like that better, because my guess is part of the issue that you're having to deal with is that going from the primary display to the secondary display, there's actually a substantial visual gap for your eyes to jump across.
So OSHA actually says to line up the corners.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But I just tried that. I just tried pushed the other it back
way and see which works best
and angled it a little more. Kind of already liking it more. Mm-hmm. Gonna see.
There you go.
I'm gonna see. Now, all of this discussion, we decided to have all this discussion in case it, like, anybody else is actually wrestling with how to set up their displays. If you have any ideas on the best way, the optimal way, or the whatever, just whatever works best for you, and it's like, let us know. You can let's see, where can you reach me? You could reach me on Twitter at GeekTales.
Yes, and you can reach me on Twitter at JGamut.
We'd love to hear from you. At Context Machine, of course, is the show's Twitter handle. All right, let's move on to your topic for today.
All right.
I mean, I'm going to check out now because we're no longer talking about like my setup. So,
oh no, don't check out yet because I have another thing to add about your setup.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll stay tuned for a little longer then.
I mean, I of course we have spent time together, and so I have seen your desk setup in person.
You haven't seen this
and desk setup? Not until now.
Oh.
And I'm really impressed with how clean your desk is.
Which is sad. It's sad that the time that you have spent with me makes my current state. I guess, you know, I guess I should like,
it's all relative, Brian.
Do we want to put a picture in the, on the site show notes?
Sure. We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take a photo. Should I do like a single shot, step back a little bit?
Yeah. That'll be perfect.
All right. So yeah, you can go to contextmachine.io, find the show notes for this episode.
And you can see Brian's desk cleaner than I've ever seen it before.
Sadly. Actually, to be fair, I'm doing a pretty good job for me.
You are. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. All right. See, the second topic now, because I'm ready to check out now.
Okay. So the second topic is what kind of port do you think should be on Brian's next iPhone?
You brought me back in. Gosh darn it.
I know. I am horrible like that.
I wasn't expecting that. That's funny. All right, hold on, let me make it out here.
All right, so what triggered
cussing? Gotta have to bleep that out. Okay, wait, hold on. Before we actually move on, let's talk about ZocDoc. That's this week's sponsor. Like, if you're like me, you know, before you book a brunch or a dinner, maybe mimosa brunch if it's Sunday, you pour over lists and lists of reviews, right? So why not do the same thing when you're booking a doctor's appointment? With ZocDoc, you can see real verified patient reviews to help find the right doctor in your network and in your neighborhood. After all, finding the right doctor is just as, now work with me here, if not more important than finding the right plate of Eggs Benedict, don't you think? ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. On ZocDoc, you can find every specialist under the sun, whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, get your back fixed, get that mole checked out, anything else, ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant or getting delivery to your house. You can search, find, and book doctors with a few taps. Also, you can find and review local doctors yourself. Read verified patient reviews from real people who made real appointments. And now when you walk into the doctor's office, you're all set because you're going to see someone in your network who gets you. And here's what you do. You simply go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are even available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM. We appreciate them sponsoring this week's episode, and we hope that you check them out. You were saying?
Yeah, you have enough there. Okay. What I was saying before Brian Creighton edit for himself was that this topic came from me just out of the blue asking Brian, so do you think the next iPhone should have USB-C or Lightning port on it? And Brian's response was, let's talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
And my answer may actually surprise you.
Yeah.
I think for now, Apple should stick with Lightning on the iPhone.
All right. I am looking forward to hearing you explain why you were wrong. Why do you think that? I'm going to take the counter to that unless you change my mind right now. So I want to stake. I'm like, for the sake of full the transparency and honesty, before whatever you're about to say, my opinion is to standardize. So go.
And actually, standardizing, I do agree, has very real benefits. But not switching the port right now, to me, seems like a reasonable thing, because Lightning on the iPhone is serving the purpose it's designed for very well. And your phone is something that, unless you're just always doing wireless charging, is a device that's going to have the connector plugged in and unplugged a lot more than, say, the stuff you're plugging into your Mac. And USB-C is actually pretty fragile, in that if you break a component in that connection, it's going to be inside the connector that's on your device and not the part on the cable. And a cable is much easier and less expensive to replace than having the port in the device actually break. So I am worried about long-term durability with USB-C for this use case. And I think, since Apple is pushing towards a place where we actually won't need that port at all on the phone, and potentially on iPads at some point as well, why change it now when you're going to change it again in the relatively near future? Why not just ride out the Lightning port until you're ready to get rid of it completely, and then do that change?
I still disagree. I think that the benefits of standardizing from a confusion and from a confusion standpoint, but also the standpoint of convenience and just having to have extra cables around, it's crazy. I'm sorry. If you have iPhones and iPads, which many
of you do. And I do appreciate that. However, Apple's not going to change their AirPods case to USB-C. They're not going to change the Magic Trackpad charger to USB-C. That Apple has all these other accessories that charge through Lightning, and I don't see them changing all of those. And if you're going to commit to standardizing, then you have to change from Lightning to USB-C on every device that Apple makes.
Yeah. Okay, get to it.
And while I see that as something that we should have. I agree with that. I don't think it's something that Apple is interested in doing right now. I think they're perfectly fine with the state of Lightning and what it's doing for the devices where they're keeping it.
I would agree with you that Apple is perfectly fine with it. I don't like it. And we've been on this USB-C and Lightning kick for years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the times when I love trotting out those times when I've been right. Mm-hmm. You know, I will
really?
Yeah, really. I will trot those out whenever possible. One of those times when I was fabulously wrong is when I said that there's no way that Apple is going to go from Lightning to USB on the iPad instead, if they're going to do anything, they would go from Lightning to another proprietary connector, because that connector is part of what allows them to control the whole made for iPhone ecosystem.
Right? I do remember you saying that. And I also remember thinking that your logic was very sound.
My logic was sound and I was fabulously wrong. So having said that, and living in this world where I need two kinds of cables, it's annoying. It's a friction point that Apple doesn't need. And they could have solved it by now. They should have solved it. I mean, like when they started moving the iPad to USB-C, everything that came out after that should have been USB-C. Period. I mean, that's obviously.
And yet that's not a path Apple has chosen to take.
Correct.
And I have a feeling, I just don't think Apple is interested in taking the iPhone to USB-C. Now, doing it on the iPad, now that we have seen that happen, my take is Apple is looking at the iPad as a serious alternative for a laptop for part of its customer base. And if they're going to position the iPad Pro as your next computer, which they have done in some of their commercials, then you need to make sure that that device has the components that it needs to actually do that. And in this case, I think USB-C becomes part of that mix. The iPhone isn't positioned that way. And I really think Apple has something else in store. And I don't know what that is.
That I agree with.
And I think they're just going to ride out Lightning until they make that other change.
Or, alternately, they're going to ride out USB-C until they make that other change.
Yeah. And then when they do that, then it goes across all the devices.
There's a complicating factor here, and that's the EU forcing companies like Apple to use inferior standardized technologies that will then become locked in and not change forever.
Yes, I agree. So where we are right now with the EU is that instead of giving us like micro USB as that forced standard, it'll be USB-C. But once that happens, that just ends innovation on the ports. I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what a company thinks they can come up with that might be better. If they have to go through legislation to get it adopted,
yeah,
there's no value in them doing that. Nope. So, yeah. So once USB-C becomes a force standard from the government, that's it. It's just over for the ports.
There's a lot that the EU does to protect consumers more than the United States regulatory infrastructure does to protect consumers that I like. Mm-hmm. It's a very that was a horrible sentence. I apologize for that. There's a whole lot that the EU does.
I'm so glad you made it through it alive.
To regulate for consumers that is more proactive and better for consumers than things that happen in the US, which tends to favor business. But this particular issue is one of those things that I don't like. And I I resent it as a consumer. This is one of those things I actually resent, because like the notion of having to go to, and here I am saying that Apple should standardize on a standard, which is USB-C. So I don't know, maybe I'm trying to have my cake and make an apple pie too.
Well, okay. Where it is today, Apple standardizing on a standard like USB-C, to me, feels like a reasonable move, because it's not being mandated as the only option. So Apple can create the convenience of one plug to rule them all until they come up with something that's better, or someone else comes up with something that's better and Apple's like, yeah, we'll adopt that. But if it's a mandated thing, one plug to rule them all, then that's bad, because at that point, there's no point in any company coming up with something better.
Right. Right. Like, because for the micro USB was like the standard around which the EU started this process. And micro USB sucks. It's
absolutely,
it's horrible. And like the idea of being like Lightning is so much better than micro USB when it comes to being a user. And I would have been incensed if I'd been forced to use micro USB in Europe instead of Lightning. But here we are in this other situation where USB-C, which is much better than micro USB and much, much faster than Lightning, both in terms of energy delivery and data transfers. But you know, so what, you know, what does that do to this idea that Apple is basically looking for its own proprietary thing to replace Lightning with?
Yeah. I'm going to toss the USB-C problem out.
Okay.
How do you know that the cable you're using actually is giving you the voltage throughput and the data throughput that, that you need? Exactly. It is really hard. Like you can pick up a USB-C cable to charge your Mac and then be pissed off because it takes forever to charge, or your computer is draining while it's plugged in and you're working on it because the cable doesn't carry enough voltage, or it's it has the wrong data throughput, so it's like super slow. While the plug itself is a standard, what's happening in the cable is not. And so to get the cable that actually does what you need, you're probably going to end up getting multiple cables. And at some point, one of those cables is probably going to cost you a lot of money, and you'd be pissed off at the $75 cable that you had to buy.
Fair points. All right. So this is another situation where I want to hear from our listeners. What do you think about USB-C and Lightning and standardizing or not standardizing? What do you think? I remember the transition from the 30-pin dock to Lightning, and people were upset because they had people who in particular had dock accessories.
Lots of accessories. Yeah.
Were very upset about that change. I had the accessories, but I was not among those who were upset because Lightning is so much better than the dock connector.
Yeah, I agree.
But I understand why people
were upset. There was the adapter that you could get.
Right, which also kind of, you know.
It was a janky fix.
Yeah, it was.
But if you had,
the end goal to me was worth the annoyance of the switchover. I mean, that said, I was it coming from a standpoint of, you know, like getting a lot of things for free through review opportunities at the Mac Observer. So, you know, maybe that's like that's a specialized kind of first world problem. But I'd like to hear what people think about USB-C, Lightning, standardizing, not standardizing within iPhone and iPad, and all the accessories too. And what do you think Apple's going to do next? Because, I mean, we know that our current state is not the end state.
Oh, no. It's absolutely not the end state. And I expect I'm going to have the scenario that I have right now for quite a while still, which is I have USB-C and Lightning cables dangling off my desk so that I can plug in various iPads, charge various devices, and I'm constantly sticking the wrong plug in each device.
Yeah.
And then wondering, why is it not working?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let us know. Let's see here. Once again, I'm at GeekTales, just about everywhere, social media wise. You and then Jeff, you're at what, the JGamut?
JGamut. Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. And then you can reach us on the Twitters at Context Machine or contextmachine.io. And we'll not overload you with more options than we already have. What do you think? Is this a good time to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Boy, it's professionals. There we go. It's the top man. Top man. Top man. That's this week's Context Machine. You have anything to comment on, add, or question, including why anyone lets me do a show, you can write us over, like I said, at contextmachine.io. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for the show. And Jeff, that's all for this week.
Yeah, I think so. Brian, I'm so proud of us for making it through the show.
Kind of. I got one more button to push. I didn't even start the work. Oh, there we go. You know, I'll just edit that right out. No one's going to hear any of that.
Top men.